Hallelujah. Wow. But Advent is something that is coming, right? Has arrived. That's what that word means. Coming or arrival. And we're looking forward to celebrating the birth of our Savior in a few weeks. But as believers, I believe we're looking forward more to his return and the rapture of the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Hallelujah. Are you happy? Excited? God's alive, right? God's moving. Even when we're not realizing it, not understanding it, God's working miracles. Hallelujah, God's doing something. Oh, for the youth leader, pastor, God spoke to me and says, the youth will grow and double and triple in size in the days to come. It may be after Christmas, but it's going to be even in the cold of winter. The Lord says, I'm going to move through you. And I'm going to call forth my children and my youth for you. Hallelujah. 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 For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his, oh hallelujah, upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom there will never be an end, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward even forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. The zealous zeal and the power of the Holy Spirit will perform what has been prophesied and what has the reason that Jesus has come. Man doesn't have to do it. God's going to do it. It's going to be established. It is already established. There will be no end, but I like two words in here. There's going to be judgment and justice for all people. And sometimes we don't understand that and we say, oh, it's not fair. Look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. They're getting by with it. They're getting by with it. No, they're not. The day is coming when the Lord will judge those people with justice, and it will be all fair. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for the word. Bring it alive in our spirit. Hallelujah. Touch us with your power today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we talk about the Prince of Peace. Jesus is our Prince of Peace today. Hallelujah. And you know what a prince is? He's the son of a king. Hallelujah, we serve the Son of a King. The Lord our God is King, and Jesus is the Son of the King. He's the Prince of Peace. He has come to set the captives free. Hallelujah. He was born as a child, but he grew up to be our hope and peace. So we don't worship the Lord as a child. We worship him as our Savior. Hallelujah. We worship him as our Savior. Hallelujah. When we look at our world today, it's fearful. We look at Jesus and it's peaceful. And in this season, many people are anxious. They're full of anxiety. They're frantic. They are trying to fit into the busy time with their schedule, only usually to be disappointed by the circumstances, which many of us are. And to some people, peace is a good word. It sounds good. It's a good idea. A nice thought. And something that they long for, but see, as believers today, peace can be ours. Peace is ours. You know, the storms that Cedar Rapids, for instance, but the whole world has faced this year, and we're still facing. They've been very different and more intense almost than any year ever. And a lot of lives have been lost, property damaged. Normal isn't normal anymore, except when you stand above the Word of God. It doesn't change, hallelujah. The truth is still the truth. It doesn't change. God's Word doesn't change. So we have to call upon the Prince of Peace in our storms, in our struggles, wherever, whatever, whoever, whenever. We call upon the Lord, the Prince of Peace. And, you know, that boat was really rocking, Pastor. It says it was taken on water when Jesus told the disciples, let's cross over. And they all went in the boat, and Jesus went to sleep. And the storm was rocking, and the boat was rocking. And I don't know if you've ever been in a boat that's taken in water. I have. It's a pretty scary thing because the waves are so big, and you can't control it. And there is a fear that comes on you. Are we going to make it? Is it going to capsize, you know? And they wake up Jesus. Don't you care? We're going to die. And he stands, peace, be still. And then he says, oh, you of little faith. Is he talking to us, church? Is he talking to you and me? Oh, you of little faith. The storms are raging. The problems are all over. We are having difficulties. Do we faith have faith? In Hebrews 12, it talks about a shaking that's going to happen on the earth and in the heaven. It says, only the things that cannot be shaken remain. So God isn't moved by what we're, well, I shouldn't say that he isn't changed or shook up by what we're feeling. He's prophesied that what we're seeing today would happen. Do you understand this? He's prophesied to us that what we're seeing today is going to take place. They're quiet. But what do? We get in trouble. No, we yell out for help. Help me, Lord. We need your help. No one else can do it. We need you, Lord. The kingdom of God is not shaken. If you continue to read in Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29, and we're not going to turn to that, but Lord Jesus is our answer. We serve God with reverence and godly fear, it says, for our God is a consuming fire. From now to the end of age, we don't give up. We don't turn aside. You know, I hear the Lord speaking. He says, lift up those hands, it's in Hebrews, on those knees, and strengthen yourself, and stop turning to the right and the left, and walk straight. He says, don't give up and don't say it's finished unless you're dead. Don't give up if you believe in me as your Savior, because nothing is finished as long as you're breathing. Hallelujah. And so today I want you to take a breath of deep air and say, yes, Lord, I agree with that word. I can do it. You know, he said the mountains that are before you, he says, I've created the mountains and the hills and the valleys and the seas. But he said, I've told you to speak to that mountain. I've given you the commandment. I've given you the authority to speak to that mountain. And what's going to happen to that mountain if you begin to speak according to the word of God? It says it's going to become like a plane. It's going to move out of the way. And the, ooh, hallelujah. What stood in your way is going to move and get out of your way, and you're going to be able to walk that straight path. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus reigns. It doesn't stop. Hallelujah. His throne is established. It doesn't change from year to year to year to year. Did you hear me? His throne is established. He doesn't stop. It doesn't change. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And he's coming back to rapture the church. Are you ready for that? Hallelujah. He says, so that where I am, you may be also. I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you can be there with me. Hallelujah. Peace. Peace in the presence of our Almighty God. Hallelujah. No God, no peace. N-O, God, no peace. K-N-O-W, no God and no peace. Hallelujah. And we can only achieve peace connected to the Father, connected to the Son. There is no peace in the natural, not true peace. It may be for a while, maybe a year, 5 years, but there is no peace without the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So we talk about peace, perfect peace in the garden. I want to talk about the Garden of Eden for a few moments. It was God's garden. He created it. Everything in there, every tree, every herb, animals, the birds, there's a river watered everything. Perfect. And he put man in the garden whom he created. He made a woman from the rib of the man. I'm giving you the history real quick here. And Adam gets to name all of the animals and the birds. And in Genesis 3 and verse 8, it says that God walked, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and was stopped there for a moment. This wasn't just a one-time experience. God walked every day in the cool of that garden and talked and communicated with his creation, Adam and Eve. But then he goes on to say, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And why did they do that? Because shame. Thank you, Sister Maddie, for that word this morning. The Lord says, the enemy has tried to stop you, and you've experienced that in the last month, but the Lord says, I'm moving you now to a higher level, and it's going to be much harder for the enemy to get a hold of you, because the call of God that I have put on you, says the Lord, is something that I need for you to spread around. Hallelujah. You see, like a knife spreading butter on a piece of toast or a piece of bread, and you're going to be like that knife that spreads the goodness of God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There were no storms or floods in the garden. No thistles, no problems, no sickness, no disease, no cancer, no heart attacks. It was perfect. Why was it perfect? Because of the glory of God. I've entitled this message, Peace in the Glory. And glory means splendor, honor, fullness of perfection, perfect peace. Everything was perfect. There were no flaws in the garden. Hallelujah. This was the true utopia that everybody wants to live in, you know? Utopia means an imagined community or society that possesses nearly perfect qualities for its citizens. That's what the word means. This wasn't just or almost perfect. It was perfect. Hallelujah. No storms, no floods, no hatred, no arguments, no fighting, no murders, no diseases, no sickness, no cancer, no heartaches, no pandemic. This was heaven on earth. Hallelujah. The glory of God was there. In church, we need to get the glory back. It seems like we moved on and left the glory behind, but in Exodus 33, God is telling Moses, now take these people to the promised land that I've told you, that I prepared for them. And Moses said, I'm not going unless your glory goes with me, unless your presence goes with me. But see, we as the church, we have our own agenda, and we want to do our own things, and God's glory is here, and we've moved over here. But I want you to know that we need to get the glory back. Hallelujah. We need to get the glory back because Moses says later, it's your glory, it's your presence that sets you and your people apart from all the rest of the world. And we need the glory on our lives so that we are different than the rest of the world. Hallelujah. This was heaven on earth. It was paradise. There were 1,000 yeses there. Hallelujah. Can I go on a picnic? Yes. Can I go fishing? Yeah. Can I go hunting? Yeah. Can I build a treehouse? Yeah. For you guys that like to build treehouses. Can I have a slumber party for you girls that like that slumber party? Yes. Everything seemed like everything was a yes, but there was one no there. You said you can... The Lord God said to Adam and Eve that you can just take care of this garden, you can live in there, eat everything from it, except the tree of good, the tree of knowledge, of good and evil. Because if you eat of that, you're going to die. There were were two trees, in fact, it says in the midst of the garden. One was the tree of life. He didn't say anything about that. But he said, of the tree of the garden you may eat freely, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And I guess we go to the next chapter. Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 1. The serpent, the snake, was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field. He put doubt into the perfect mind of the perfect woman, of the perfect man. Wouldn't you like to live with the perfect woman and the perfect man? Hallelujah. They didn't have any bad thoughts or quarrels or any problems, but they were perfect in every way. And here comes this serpent, and he begins to put doubt. Puts doubt up here. You know, and he uses the same things today. He uses the same tricks. He deceived her into believing a lie and used half-truths to get her to act. He does the same thing today. He brings in half-truths and deception. He speaks out of both sides of his mouth to get you to doubt the truth. Oh, you're quiet. The serpent says to Eve, you will not surely die. Genesis chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Let's read those together. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, hear that. She also gave, she ate, took of the fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. They were both deceived and immediately lost their innocence to having a conscience. They lost their purity and became conscious that they were naked. And we call that the first dispensation, going from innocence to consciousness. Knowing right from wrong. Why did God allow that to happen? Why did he put that tree there? You ever want to know that, young people? Do you ever wonder why? Why did he do that? Why did he put that temptation there? Because we're created humans with the mind, with the heart, with the free will to make our own choices. He didn't make us in a mold and take us out of that mold and stamp 12,790,321,000. And the next one's 322,000. The next one's, No, he created each of us individually with a mind, a heart, and a free will so that we could choose and make our own choices. They heard God's commandment. They disobeyed God's commandment. Did they die? You know, and I've had people question, well, they didn't die. So the devil was right, correct? He didn't die. But they died from immortality to more being a mortal person. And a mortal person dies. Death is imminent. We are going to die. And thanks to Adam and Eve, they started that. But still today, we have commandments from God and God's Word. Don't do this or you will be lost. You will spend eternity in hell and torment, away from God, away from God's glory, away from God's presence. And still we choose to disobey because of our pride and our arrogance. And no one is going to tell me how to live. It feels good. It looks desirable. I'm going to do it. And for them and many millions of souls, people are deceived into believing a lie. And they bow themselves to the deception and they believe half-truths. and even outright lies which are spoken every day in our nation. Church, listen. Believers, listen. Those of you, listen to the Holy Spirit this morning. You can do whatever you want, but there's a stiff penalty for your lifestyle. Now you're really quiet. You will be judged and driven from the presence of God. You will be burned with fire, brimstone, lake of fire, hell for eternity, away from God's presence. And in the Bible, in Genesis 3 and 22, it says, "Then the Lord said, Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." I got to drive them out of the garden. The fact that the word he drove them out of the garden means there was some resistance. I like this place. This is a fun place. This is a place where there's no problems. And you want me to leave? Yes, because you disobeyed. There's consequences for your disobedience. Hear me. This is the Holy Spirit speaking. There's consequences for your disobedience. Oh, hallelujah. Why can't people see that? Why can't they see that, huh? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Whose minds, the God of this world, the God of this age, has blinded. Who do not believe. Who do not believe. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The enemy has blocked and is blocking and causing people to be blind and millions of people from seeing the truth and experiencing the presence of God and experiencing the glory of God and experiencing his peace. And I believe that the truth has been revealed and the truth has been spoken and has been preached in most of all of the nations of the world. Could you agree with that? Yes. Most of the people of the world have heard the gospel and the plan of salvation. Yet because of demonic influence, people would rather believe a lie instead of the truth. And they follow these lies right to their death. Eternity away from God. That snake is a deceiver. I hate snakes. I don't like snakes. I wouldn't have a pet snake if you paid me to have one. Our son moves houses and buildings, and he lives in southern Iowa, and this summer he moved a house. And they have to get underneath the house and underneath the foundation. Sometimes it's just a crawl space, and they get in there, and they have to slide big iron beams in there so they can lift that house without it crumbling. And in this one house, they started seeing snakes. And they saw more snakes, bull snakes, harmless, of course, this long and this long. They killed 60 snakes in that house. Can you imagine living with those snakes and not knowing it? But sometimes we live with the snake and the enemy and are influenced by him and we don't realize it. That's why the Word of God needs to be clear so you understand the truth of God's Word. We need to understand what this word says so that we can follow this on a straight path. I hate snakes. The fruit of the tree of life brings us back to immortality. Are you hearing me? So we're going to talk about the tree of life for a few moments. People, there's hope because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is the fruit that we can eat and live forever. Hallelujah. Jesus became that tree of life for us. He was crucified. He was hung on a tree. His blood was sacrificed for you and me. And we're all sinners. We need a Savior. Some of us are saved by grace. Hopefully all of you. But sin separates us from God. Sin drives us away from the presence of God. Sin stops the glory of God. Sin destroys our peace. Sin stops our relationship with God. So if we want the glory back, what do we do, young people? we get rid of sin, right? So we go to church three times a week, and we sing in the choir, and we become an usher, and we pay our tithes, and we become a deacon or maybe associate pastor, and still no glory. So we stop doing the things that are wrong, and by the way, most people know that they're doing something wrong because they have a conscience. We clean up our language and we start acting good, but still no glory. Because being good doesn't remove sin. You hear me? Those are all good things to do. You need to go to church. You need to be with God's people. We need to be together in this time and this season, worshiping together, hearing the Word of God. I know. Hey, Boone, let's you and I go out tonight and go to the Garden of Eden, cut the fence, sneak in there and get some fruit from the tree. But there's two reasons why you can't do that. At least two. One says that he drove them out and he put the cherubims, his angelic host, at the entrances. And he put a flaming sword there by the tree. We believe it was by the tree. God's angels are guarding it. And that sword is not controlled by man. And if you get close to that tree of life, you'd be cut to pieces. But the second reason is that it's not a place anymore. The glory isn't a destination on this earth. Are you hearing me? The glory isn't found in a it's found in destinations, but it isn't in a destination. We go all over the world and people say, where do you live? And Shirley says, in God's country. Where is that? That's Iowa. But God's country isn't Iowa. It isn't the U.S. of A. It isn't Europe or Africa or Asia or South America or Central America. And I hope I've hit all your nations here, okay? It's not a place. And I want to give you a scriptures verses to back that up in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Hallelujah. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. His own purpose and grace which are given to us in Christ Jesus before the time began. And verse 10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In the old covenant, the priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifice which can never take away the sins. That's what Hebrews 10:1 says. I think it was somewhere in there. And for the Passover sacrifice, they had to bring a lamb without blemish. And the priest would sacrifice that lamb and sprinkle the blood over everything and sprinkle it on the people. Now, can you imagine for a moment a semi-trailer parked out here full of sheep? And one by one, they bring him into Pastor Harris, and he kills that lamb and takes that blood and sprinkles it all over, and then he sprinkles it on you. Ooh, what a smell. Too much blood for me. But that's what it was for the old covenant. But Hebrews 10 and 12 says this, but this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, for by one offering he was perfected forever. He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Jesus did that on the tree. The blood was shed. He gave his life. He has now become the fruit that we eat to live forever, eternal life. What does John 3:16 say? We all know it. whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Hallelujah. So what do we do? How do we get rid of the sin? Do you know? How do we get rid of the sin? World, how do you get rid of sin? If sin separates us from the glory of God and the presence of God, then how do we get rid of sin? We repent. Ask for forgiveness. Ask Jesus to become Lord of our life. We accept the sacrifice that he made for us on that tree. And when we accept that, we're saved, sanctified, adopted into the family of God. And what happens? The glory returns. Hallelujah. There's a relationship reestablished. We can talk with God. He talks with us. Hallelujah. We have fellowship. We can walk with him and talk with him. And Hebrews 10, verses 16 and 17. Hallelujah. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them, one more verse, 17. Hallelujah. Then he adds, and I will write them, he says, and then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Hallelujah. The glory returns to us, not in paradise, the Garden of Eden, not in Iowa, but in our hearts. We eat of the tree of life that was sacrificed for us. We eat of that fruit today. And we get immortality back. Hallelujah. We get to live forever in the presence of God. Amen. We get to be with the Lord forever. Let's go on to Revelation 2, verse 7. You know, it's a heart service. We serve God with our heart, not with things, not with our money, not with our time, and all of those things are good, but we serve God with the heart. That's why in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, you will be saved, because it's with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But here it says in Revelation 2 and verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's promise for you and me. When we get to heaven, paradise, we get to eat of the fruit, all of the fruit. There's no stopping. We get to live forever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The worship team can come. Hallelujah. And we go on to the next part of this message, and I want you to hear that. I want you to hear what God is saying. Faith renews peace. Fear destroys people. Fear destroys peace. And fear is connected with our old sinful nature. I preach it here and I've preached it all over the world, but Genesis 3 and verse 10, it says, God says, where are you, Adam and Eve? And he says, we were afraid and we hid ourselves. They hid themselves from the presence of God because they became conscious. They started getting a conscience. They realized they were impure. They realized they had sinned, and so they hid from the presence of God, and fear took over. Don't dare stand in the presence of God with sin and all kinds of sin in your life, because you're going to be destroyed if you come with a heart saying, Lord, here's my heart. He's going to receive you. But if you come with pride and arrogance and your heart is wrong, he's not going to accept you. And in this season that we've been in this year as believers, 2020, it's full of fear. It's been full of fear. Even people who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior have been afraid, and they've pushed their faith back, and guess what? They've lived and been motivated by fear. And this is not what God wants for his people. The Israelites, when Goliath was challenging, come, fight with me. Send me somebody to fight with me. And he come out, and every time he come out, it says that the Israelite, the army, shrank back because they were afraid. And he cursed their God. He cursed God in their presence, and they were still afraid. But there was one boy. His name was David. He didn't care. In fact, he made the statement in 1 Samuel 17, verse 46. He said, "In this day." And, you know, Goliath was cussing and swearing, "You're sending me a dog," and, you know, blah, 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 and all these things. And David said, "No, no." He said, "This day, I'm going to kill you." Kind of crude. "I'm going to cut off your head, and I'm going to feed your bodies to the birds and the fowl of the birds and the animals. And this day," I want you to hear this, "this day, because one man was brave, one man was willing not to back up," he said, "they will know, the people will know there's a God in Israel." You will know there's a God in Israel. Hallelujah. And this is war. It's a spiritual battle that needs to be fought in the spirit. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. "Let's fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Fight the good fight. We have to fight. We can't back up. We can't just stand still. We have to fight. We have to move forward. Lay a hold on eternal life. We don't give up. We don't give in. We fight for truth. We fight for justice. We fight for our freedom. We fight for the right to get together like this, to have church, to worship the God. And if we lose now, if we don't fight now, and we lose the battle, it's going to be hard to get it back. People are saying, listen to me, I want you to hear this. People are saying, "Oh, we're in all this together. We're all together in the United States, but we're not in this together. There's a division between the liberals and the conservative. We are not in together. There's a division between the unbeliever and the believer. We do not believe what they are saying. And we stand for truth and justice. We are not like the unbeliever." Hopefully, we're prepared. Hopefully, we're prayed up. Hopefully, we're doing spiritual warfare against the darkness. Hopefully, we're willing to expose the lies and the schemes of the enemy, because the enemy is trying to destroy God's people. I have an example, a quick example, in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 14 and 18, we have the children of God, we have the king of Syria, we have the prophet Elisha. And it seems like there's a war going on between Israel and Syria, and it seems like every time Syria is getting ready to attack the king of Israel, he goes the other way. And the king of Syria says, "There's a spy in my camp, there's a traitor in my camp," but his servant says, no, it's the prophet Elisha. He says, "What you speak in your bedroom," he tells the king of Israel. Whew. Spiritual discernment. Hallelujah. And he says, "Go get him." Basically, the king says, "Go get him. Where is he? Go get him," you know. So while Elisha and his armor bearer were sleeping and those that were with him, the Syrian army came and surrounded them. And the servant wakes and he says, "Ah, we're going to die, master." Why? Because he saw the enemy's army. That's kind of the way we are sometimes. See, we need the gifts of discernment. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating, Pastor. We need, you know, this keeps us from operating in fear. When we have the gift of faith, we don't have to operate in fear. When we have the gift of discerning of spirits, we know when the enemy is trying to do something that is wrong. And if nothing else, those two gifts will keep us safe in this time. So the enemy surrounds, and the servant says, "Fear, we're all going to die." And Elisha says, "Pray, let's pray. Open his eyes, Lord, because those that are with us are more than those out there." And his eyes were open, and he saw the host of the armies of the angel of the Lord, hallelujah, surrounding them. And out of this was released power and authority. Did the army of God have to fight that day? No. They were ready. They were prepared. They're ready to fight for you. They're ready to help you in your situation. But see, Elisha knew that if you fight the devil, that there's going to be counterattacks. Listen to me. He likes to retaliate, but don't worry if you're connected to the throne. Because what does it say? The enemy, Bible says the enemy comes in one way and flees seven ways. Hallelujah. Psalms, Isaiah 59 and 19 says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. 1 John 4 and verse 4, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. So we don't need to have fear when we come against the enemy. We stand our ground. Hallelujah. What is he saying? Ephesians 6 and starting in verse 12, equip yourselves, put on the armor of God, and when you have everything on like you're supposed to have, stand strong. Hallelujah. And then it says, pray for all of the saints throughout all of the world. And we miss that sometimes. But see, because Elisha had faith and he was prepared, the blindness was reversed that day. Hallelujah. He says, Lord, smite the enemy with blindness. And then he was able to lead them. He said, no, it's not for, you don't want us. Here, go this way. And he led them away. I believe that God puts a covering on its people. I believe that God puts a covering on you and me. We have an example in Pakistan, and I know that time is... Whew, I'm having so much fun, Pastor. I didn't even know what time it was. They sent us a message, and they said, please pray, because the Taliban are going from city to city, and anyone that doesn't recant Christianity is going to die. They hang them from the tree. They're killing them. Please pray. So my wife and I just got alone. We prayed. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, I have them covered. Tell them I have them covered. And I saw in the spirit this giant, almost like a bubble. But it was clear, covering them. And we quickly told them, we messaged them back and said, you're covered. And they said, fear left immediately. That Pakistan, the Taliban never came to the village, have not bothered them since in all these 5 years or more since then. And they've been able to take the word out to all these villages and preach the gospel, and they have not been bothered. Why? Because I believe, see, God sets up a standard against the enemy. Hallelujah. You ought to shout and cheer on that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The last scripture verse, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. Just a minute, I'm going to let you sing. Okay. Woo. Hallelujah. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Ooh, hallelujah. They don't move. His kingdom, there's no end. Justice and judgment for all, it doesn't stop. Year after year, it's the same, because it's eternal. We need to connect to the eternal today. We need to put fear in its place. Begin to move forward in faith. Because faith releases the glory of God into our lives. Hallelujah. It releases the peace that we've been talking about. And we need that peace, that perfect peace. If you know that God is surrounding you and covering you, you don't have any fear. There's perfect peace. And we need that in our lives personally, for our families, for our children, grandchildren, for the church, universally. The Holy Spirit in our lives, if we listen and obey, will keep us in line with God's word. It'll keep us in line with the truth of this word. And we will know. Actually, the truth will be revealed to us what God is doing today here in our lives, here in Iowa, here in the U.S. of A., what he's doing in the nations of the world, because I believe that the Holy Spirit brings revelation to us. And if we can hear and obey what he's saying, we're going to have the fruit of faith. The Holy Spirit produces what kind of fruit? Love, joy, peace. we'll have that fruit of peace operating in our life, regardless of what is happening in our lives. You say, oh, you've never experienced any trauma, or maybe not like you. Well, you don't want to go. You don't want me to go there, okay? We don't fear because we've allowed God to write His laws in our heart and our mind. Hallelujah. We know, and we don't give up. We know God, and we don't give up. Do you know God today? Do you have that personal relationship that I was talking about? Or do you have sin that's evident and keeping you away from God? And I want you to give you this opportunity just for a few moments to repent before the Lord and say, Lord, I need forgiveness. I've been doing my own thing. I need you to be my Savior. I need you to come into my life. I want to follow you because I don't want to burn in that fire that you talked about. I want that peace. Let's all stand together. There might be someone out there that's listening. I want you to hear what the Lord is saying. Your salvation is a prayer away, a confession away, a repentance away. It doesn't matter what you've experienced, what's happened in your life. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved, because it's with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart is where you believe. Is there someone here today who says, I need to be reconnected or connected to the Father? If you'll raise your hand, you can put it down. We're going to pray with you as we close with this song. Are you here today? You say, I'm missing out. I want to be connected to the Father. Don't be ashamed. Raise your hand. Say, I want to be connected to the Father. I want to be a part of what you're talking about, the glory of God. I want God to rule and reign in my life. If that's you, we'll give you that opportunity as they begin to worship. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray with you. Father, we thank you for this word, and we thank you that you give us life, and it's you are the Prince of Peace. So we cling to you, Lord. We cling to you for that peace today. We lay down all of those things that have troubled us, all of those things that have turned us aside and moved us from the truth. We repent of that. We ask for forgiveness because we want to make you Lord of our life. We want to make you Lord of our life, Lord Jesus. We want to serve you with our life. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. They're going to lead us in a closing chorus. Remember, God has a plan for you. He has a plan for us as a church. He has a plan for us as a universal church throughout the world. He loves us. He cares for us. We can't stop now. We've come this far. We can't turn around and go back. We've come this far. Let's continue on. Continue to press in. Continue to take back what the enemy has stolen from you. Continue to take back the territory that you have lost because of sin in your life or whatever has happened in your life. Take it back! Because God is on your side. Hallelujah. We love you. God bless you.